which is our first talk, first sermon in this new series, Knowing Jesus. And that's the slide there, linked in a little bit with Philippians 3:10, verse 11, where it talks about knowing Jesus. And let me just move this. Knowing the power, as we sang in that last song, actually, in the last verse, the power of his resurrection in our lives, knowing him as the risen Savior. Yeah, we know that Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again. He's alive. And we can not only know about him, we can actually know him because he lives, as that slide indicates. What I want us to consider today as well is it's the first in our series, the first in our year, if you like, if you take September as a start of the sort of school year, is the aims that we have as a church. So that's the church, including the Slade. And if you've got your contact, which I don't know if anyone noticed, it's got a different name. So we're interchanging names at the moment. Connect. So we've got a very similar newsletter to what the Slade has, but Andrew's done it particularly for us with Abbeywood Church at the top. And you'll see there that our aim is to know Jesus better and make him better known. So if we have the next slide, a slightly shorter version of that, to know Jesus. Our aim is to know Jesus, not just know about Jesus, but know Jesus. And make him known. And so today, even though we're starting this series in knowing Jesus, I want us to particularly think about the character of John the Baptist, and how he both knew Jesus, and that enabled him to make Jesus known. So this is an opportunity for us really just to remind ourselves why we're here in Abbeywood. It's not just so that we can have a different, slightly different, smaller, more intimate expression of church to being at the Slade. No, it's so that we can actually meet people who don't know Jesus, give them an opportunity to find out about Jesus. And John the Baptist is a great example of this. And what we're going to see in the series is each week a different character, and a different character from the Bible, disciples especially, and Paul as well, people who knew Jesus. And we're going to see what we can learn from them about how we can better know Jesus and better make him known. And we're going to start with John. So John doesn't cover everything we're going to look at. We're going to have a whole series on this. But there's some aspects about John that we can really learn from. Our reading starts in verse 6 with saying, this man, John, was sent from God. And John appears in all four Gospels. That shows you how significant he is. He appears in all four Gospels. And we find out from the other Gospels a number of things that we don't have in this passage. So some of what I'll share is from the other Gospels, but we know that his mother, Elizabeth, was a relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they seem pretty close, Mary and Elizabeth, and I think John and Jesus probably got to be pretty close as well. They were cousins or second cousins, something like that, and as you do, you know, whether it's, even though they live maybe quite far apart, when it comes to family gatherings, weddings, funerals, other occasions, Christmas, they probably met up, they probably grew up together in all likelihood. His father, Zechariah, he was a Levite priest. That means he worked at the temple. And that meant probably John would have become a priest as well and probably worked at the temple. That was usually how it went with the Levites. But even before he was born, his father was told that things would be different with John. And this happened when Zechariah had this privilege, once-in-a-lifetime privilege, of going into the most holy part of the temple. You only got to do it once in your lifetime, and it only happened once a year anyway. And when he was in there, an angel of the Lord met with him and told him he would have a son. And he told him actually what he was to call him, instructed him to call him John. Now, it was common, it was the norm, in fact, to name your child after someone in the family, possibly your father. So when Zechariah was able to tell people that his name was John, people were already saying, who is this child, and what is he going to be? Because he's got a special name. The special name, not only because it's not a family member's name, but it had a significant meaning. It means gift from God, or God is gracious. So what is this? What is this gift? You know, this child's special. What's he going to do? What's he going to become? And his father knew. His father was told about the prophecies about this guy, that he would, and this is quoting from Luke, make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He was going to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. He was going to start telling people about Jesus even before Jesus appeared on the scene and anyone else knew about him. He was unique in many ways because John knew him. Many people didn't. But he was going to make him known and prepare people for his coming even before Jesus appeared. So he probably started doing his ministry, John, even as a teenager, started hanging out in the desert, wearing some incredible stuff like camel skin clothes, eating locusts and honey. And he was yelling at people, it seems, to repent. Although he didn't yell the whole time. He taught people, he showed people about Jesus the Savior. At times he shouted at the Pharisees and so on. But people would have wondered, you know, what is going on? And John and, Zechariah and his mother Elizabeth, well, they would have been completely supportive of their son. I don't know how you would feel if instead of going to uni or getting a respectable job in central London, your teenage son decided to go hang out in the wilderness, dressed in camel skins, eating locusts and honey, and yelling at people to repent of their sin and be ready for the coming of the Savior. But they were very supportive of John because they knew the scriptures. They understood the scriptures. Zechariah was a priest, and the prophecies about John and Jesus, he would have known. And so they were very supportive of him, I'm sure. But it just challenges it just to stop and think as parents. We obviously want, if you're a parent or a grandparent, we want, I'm sure, our kids to do well at school and be successful in whatever they do. But how supportive are we? How much do we desire that they would be like John, a voice in the wilderness out there, proclaiming the coming of Jesus Christ, proclaiming that Jesus can be known? And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? How, as parents, we support our youngsters, not only in doing well at studies or in a job, but in making Jesus known as disciples of him. Now, what was he saying? So we've said he's a voice calling in the desert. That comes from verse 23. A voice calling in the desert, making straight the way of the Lord. Well, he was, as I've already said, he's preaching this message of repentance, basically getting ready to receive forgiveness, turning from sin, wanting to be cleansed, wanting to be forgiven through God's Messiah, God's Christ, God's Savior. And he baptized people. Baptism for John was slightly different to the baptism we have now. Baptism now is a symbol, a picture of what's already happened. We've been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are now no longer living for ourselves, but now living a new life for Jesus. Whereas this baptism was a symbol of wanting that, preparing for that, getting ready for that, desiring to turn from that old life to a new life and receive Jesus Christ. And John was preaching about Jesus' arrival. He was, as it says, making ready the people for the Lord. Why was he doing this? Well, it tells us there in verse 7, what was John's motive? Why was he doing this? Why was he out there in the desert, living in what's quite a hostile place, quite a rough place, probably struggling in many ways, physically, but at the same time, why was he doing it? It just tells us there that all men might believe. His desire, the thing he desired, the thing that God had called him to do, the reason God had sent him was so that all men might have the opportunity to believe. His reason for doing that and living that way was so that others could come to know Jesus, that they could know Jesus, believe in him, and be saved and receive new life. So John's purpose was, quite simply, to make Jesus known. Seven times in this passage, seven times it talks about John being a witness, testifying concerning Jesus. He doesn't, even though it talks about him here being a prophet, sorry, it doesn't talk about him in this passage being a prophet. It talks about him being a prophet in other passages. Here he says, no, I'm not a prophet. He doesn't even want that accolade or that title. He doesn't view himself as a great spiritual leader or a prophet. He sees himself as simply a voice or an arrow pointing people to Jesus Christ. That is what his life is about. He's a witness. A witness is someone, aren't they, who backs up the claims of other people or gives a good character reference, to someone. And, you find witnesses in court giving evidence. People often need a character witness to confirm who they are and what they're like. And John is a witness to Jesus Christ. And he's a witness to Jesus being the Son of God, it talks about here, and also the Savior of the world. And I just want us to think just how was he qualified for this job? Obviously, he was sent by God. It was God's plan for his life. But As I've already indicated, John knew Jesus, and he knew about him. He was qualified because he knew Jesus. You can't really make Jesus known, can you, unless you know him. And so what we see here and what we want to emphasize here is, if our mission is to Abbey Wood, to make Jesus known, then obviously we really need to know Jesus. And we need to continue to build on our relationship with him and grow in that relationship, which is very much what we're seeking to do, both Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings back at the Slade, our small groups. That's what they're for, so that we can grow in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus, our relationship with Jesus, in order that we might be able to make him better known. And some of the weeks, this week less than normal, but other sermons, other Sundays, we will be preaching that message of Jesus, so that people who are invited, people who you bring along, people who come along if we do door-to-door work, hear how they can know him. But today we're particularly thinking, if we're a Christian, you know, about our relationship. And John had this relationship with Jesus. He knew him from an early age, I'm sure. They grew up together to a certain extent. And so when he comes to make ready people prepared for the Lord, he's a step ahead of everyone else, you see. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, I'm stating the obvious. But he's a step ahead. If he's to prepare people for the coming of Jesus, he already has to know something about Jesus. And as I say, they grew up together. I'm sure they were just a few months apart. John was just a few months older than Jesus. And he would have seen his life. He would have seen his life up close. And here we see in this passage that there's an indication that John, if you look at verses 32 to 34, we haven't got time to go into all the details, but John knew Jesus, but it's not until this moment at his baptism that he's like, sure, yes, this is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the Son of God. This is the Lamb, he calls him, of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He's talking already about the cross, about the sacrifice that Jesus is going to make. He already understands all about that. He already understands who the Messiah is going to be, what he's going to do. Again, his father, as I said, was a priest. His father knew the prophecies. His father knew that John was going to be who he was going to be. And so he would have taught him all this stuff. So he would have known loads about who the Messiah was going to be, what he was going to do. And at the baptism of Jesus, he suddenly clicks and says, yeah, of course it's Jesus. Of course it's Jesus. He kind of knew it already. It's just in this moment, it's confirmed to him. And especially confirmed to him, as you can read there, when somehow God has indicated to him that the Spirit in the form of a dove, on whom that lands, he is the chosen one. He is the Christ. He is Jesus. And that's what happened at Jesus' baptism, confirming to John what he already knew. Because you think of it, John had seen Jesus up close and personal. So to him, the penny dropped. It was obvious. He'd seen Jesus' life. It had been impeccable. And even as a kid, he would have known and seen as a teenager that Jesus was different. He was special. And his life spoke to him. I suppose this is a challenge to us as well. And John, in turn, has a life that speaks to others. And that's the first point in many ways. John has his testimony. If you've got your hand out there, it says his testimony, John's own testimony, prepares the way for people to want to know about Jesus. The way John lives, the way John speaks. He's not like Jesus. None of us are. No one's perfect except Jesus. And he saw Jesus up close and personal, saw him as perfect. But John's life, in some way, reflected Jesus to others so that they were attracted. It talks about people coming out to hear John. John didn't have to go out to them to tell them about Jesus. People were coming to him. There was something about John that attracted them to him, and they were ready and wanting to listen to the message. There's a story of a rather stroppy, unkind, self-righteous Sunday school teacher who wanted to get a similar message across to the kids that I'm trying to get across today about sharing about Jesus with others, telling others about Jesus. And she said, why do you think, kids, all the people know that I'm a Christian? And the answer she was looking for was obviously that, oh, because you tell people about Jesus. But one clever little kid said, maybe it's because they don't know what you're really like. Well, John had a life that meant he could speak into other people's lives. People came to him. Look, they're saying to him, are you the Christ? I mean, that's how impressive people were with John. Are you the Christ? Are you a prophet? Are you Elijah? Come back from the dead. He was a great prophet who didn't die, did he? He went straight to heaven. So they're like, are you come back? They're like, you're the man, you know. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Like I said, no one's perfect. And sometimes God uses our brokenness and our willingness to acknowledge our sin to encourage others to repent and turn from theirs. But even so, there's something about John's life, and it's a challenge to us. We have the opportunity to prepare the way to tell people about Jesus through our testimony. And if you're a Christian, it's not only that you have a testimony through the way you live, you can tell them about your story. You can tell them about how Jesus has changed your life, how he's forgiven your sin. And we pray, don't we, that people will not only get to hear our story, but to see the difference Jesus has made in our lives by the lives we live. But John was told to prepare people for Jesus. And yeah, that meant testifying to Jesus. We've read here a number of times he's a witness, he testifies, he has his personal experience of Jesus, he knows the scriptures as well, and that's the second point. He was a teacher. He taught the scriptures. But I want to suggest this morning that these two points, testimony and teach, they're relevant to us all. They're not just about the guy at the front. They're not just about, you know, the great preachers that you can listen to on the internet. John had a testimony, a personal experience of Jesus Christ, so he could talk about him. But he also knew the scriptures. And we have Bibles in our hands. We have Bibles on the internet. We have Bibles available to us. We have Bible studies on Wednesday. We open the Bible on Sundays. We can read the Bible in the morning and in the evening. We can read it anytime and anywhere. We have the opportunity to be teachers because we have the Bible and we can learn what God's word says so that we're in a position to tell people who Jesus is. Not only tell him what he's done for me, but actually tell people what he can do for you, what he's done on the cross, what the cross means, what his resurrection means, and be able to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. John had that, yes, that advantage where at this stage he's a step ahead of everyone else. He had a dad who taught him the scriptures, I'm sure. He knew the scriptures himself. But we have the scriptures. We have the same opportunities to learn and grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we can share him and teach others and preach. His ability to speak isn't the issue. The issue is his knowledge of Jesus personally and his knowledge of Jesus through the word, through the prophecies he had studied and learned. His knowledge of God enabled him, put him in that position to be able to make Jesus known. And that's very simply the message, isn't it, this morning? That is just the message. It's obvious, and I'm stating the obvious, I realize that. But, you know, if we know Jesus better through his word and through prayer and through meeting around his word together, then we're in a better position, better place to point people to Jesus, to help them come to know him themselves, just like John did. We can do that through, as we've said, our study groups, one-to-ones, women of the word, opportunities that we have. You know, these are opportunities not just to have great times of fellowship. And I love this group. I love the opportunities that we have to be together. We've been invited to different seals for food, to share together, to enjoy time together. But all these opportunities that we have as well are opportunities to prepare us, to equip us, to enable us to then make Jesus better known. Why? Because it's nice to know Jesus? Well no. John understood, and John's preached this. People need to know Jesus. It's not just, be nice to know. Be nice to know Jesus. No, people need to know Jesus. Whether they realize it or not, people need to know Jesus, because without knowing Jesus, we cannot know God. We cannot know eternal life. We cannot know true life. Scriptures talk about Jesus holding the keys, as it were, to death and Hades. He holds the key to heaven, and you need to know him to be able to get in. He is one day going to be the judge of all people. So it's key, it's absolute key. It's imperative for people to know Jesus, and they can know about Jesus through us, as they did through John the Baptist. We can testify to his life-changing power in our personal lives, and we can teach the little we know. Maybe we were just starting out as Christians, but we're already a step ahead of someone else who doesn't know anything about Jesus, and so we can teach them the little we know, or even point them to others who can teach them more if they have questions that we cannot answer. And of course, we want to get them to the cross. That's key, isn't it? John the Baptist here. Even before it's happened, he's pointing them, people, to the sacrifice Jesus is going to make. And that's where we want to bring people. We want to bring people to the cross. Twice he talks about, behold, the Lamb of God. This is again linked to the Old Testament. It's linked to the temple, where throughout the Old Testament and in the temple that people brought sacrifices. What for? For the forgiveness of sins, to make them right and ready for God and for heaven. And Jesus is going to be this once and for all ultimate, for everybody, sacrifice. It says there, the sin of the world. The sin of the world. But that's not like, it's not like a blanket, everybody's covered now. No, John's already said, you know, he was sent so that people would believe. People have to receive this truth. They have to believe this truth. Romans says, you know, how can people believe? How can people receive unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone is sent, someone goes to them? And so as we start out this year at Abbey Wood, I just want us to remember again what opportunities we have. We have opportunities to know Jesus, to grow together. And as we do that, we have the opportunity, we pray, to make him better known in this area. John explains at the very end that Jesus took away the sin of the world. And this is the message. This is the simple message that we need to bring to a lost, broken, and dying world. And we, as I say, if we're Christians, are in a position to be the ones to tell them. John was special. He was special. But in a sense, we are like him. We don't have to be as weird as him, wear the same clothes as him, eat the same food as him. But I do believe we're called to do the same thing as him and call others to know Jesus. We're a unique people. John was unique, and so are we. We're to be distinct in the world, and we can be that through God's help, through our testimony, telling people our story, and also through teaching them the good news about Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, let me just say that this really stuck out to me, verse 22. Verse 22. It links in a little bit with John 3:30, where John says this. He says, you know, he must become greater. I must become less. I've been challenged here. John doesn't want the accolade. He doesn't want the title prophet or anyone special. He just says, I'm just a voice. I just want to be a voice. Do you want to be a voice? Do you want your teenagers growing up to become a voice in our community, in our world, telling people about Jesus? I know that's my desire. I know that I don't have all the answers how to do that. And that's something we as a group are going to be looking at in the next weeks and months, working together to see how we can be a voice. But may the challenge be just this morning, is that your desire? Is that our desire? Is that what we want? Let's pray, and then we're going to sing together. Father God, we thank you that you've given every single person in this room what they need to be saved. The revelation of Jesus Christ through your word, even through what's been said today, even some is short and maybe very simple. Lord, each and every one of us has that opportunity to be saved because we know about Jesus, that he is the one who provides forgiveness of sins and a way to heaven. And Lord, being privileged to know that already and receive that already, if that's our story, Lord, we thank you that we are in a position to tell others. And Lord, we just pray for your grace, your help, your wisdom, your guidance, and for opportunities to make Jesus known, for us to be a voice, yes, collectively as a church here as we come every Sunday, but also individually in our homes, in our families, in our wider families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our schools, in our colleges. Lord, help us to desire that as well, and help us to be that, a voice pointing others towards Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We can express some of that recognition, desire, truth about people needing the Savior and us being the ones to be the light, in a sense, to shine, to point people to Jesus.